This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
I'm Emily Campagno.
I'm Guy Benson.
I'm Shannon Bream, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Wednesday, November 9th, 2022. I'm John Saucier. Didn't seem like there was a so-called red wave in the midterm elections on Tuesday. I call it more of a red ripple, as Democrats performed much better than many polls would have indicated.
It was not a referendum, in their view, on just the president's approval ratings and some of the things they were talking about and got some criticism for, even within their own party, for talking about, seemed to make a difference.
This is the Fox News Rundown, Evening Edition.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
President Biden speaking to reporters on Wednesday and seemed to feel pretty good about how his Democratic Party performed in the midterm elections.
While any seat lost is painful, some good Democrats didn't win the last night. Democrats had a strong night. And we lost fewer seats in the House of Representatives than any Democratic president's first midterm election in the last 40 years. And we had the best midterm for governors since 1986.
So what went right and wrong for both parties in these midterms?
What it did suggest, and I think the reason that you hear that they are vindicated, is because they're saying, listen, this was not a referendum on President Biden.
Fox News reporters Jessica Rosenthal and Jared Halpern have been all over this election cycle and join us today with their postgame thoughts.
We've been talking about steps he's taking on the economy. And remember, the White House raised some questions with the president's strategy of focusing on things like threats to democracy. And a lot of, pundits sort of question, is that the right closing argument to make? Well, as we have seen over the last couple of race calls here, that was an issue. Maybe not the main driving force, but certainly has been an issue that motivated, in particular, Democrats and independents that maybe broke late for Democrats to vote. And so I think part of it is the White House feeling like, you know, generally you don't hear an on the record, I told you so. I feel like, you know, that's part of what the White House says when they say they feel vindicated, that one, it was not a referendum, in their view, on just the president's approval ratings. And two, some of the things they were talking about and got some criticism for, even within their own party, for talking about, seemed to make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. Because a lot of the issues that we saw in our polling, I mean, pretty much every poll, the top issues seem to be inflation going into these midterm elections here. Another one that was really talked about by Republicans, of course, with crime there. But another big issue was abortion, the overturning of Roe versus Wade and states' rights on abortion. How big do you think that played into this?
Again, it's one of the things that I think we're going to sort of go on a deep dive with is how did sort of one issue voters break, right? So if your biggest issue was abortion, maybe you weren't the largest voting block in the electorate, right? But you all voted one way, right? If your big issue was threats to democracy, like the president was, again, probably not the largest voting block, but sizable that all voted one way. The environment, not a large voting block. So, you know, one of the takeaways that we had seen in our Fox News voter analysis was that a path for Democrats was potentially sort of getting this coalition of one issue voters that all sort of broke their way. And listen, it's probably not going to be enough for Republicans to retain the House, but it is certainly looking increasingly more likely that the Republican majority in the House is going to be much slimmer than it was thought to have been. And part of that is because they were able to sort of pick off voters on this issue-by-issue basis.
Yeah, absolutely. It could be the slimmest majority in congressional history, according to some accounts there. Now, former President Donald Trump, he was a big factor in these midterm elections, at least as far as being seen on the campaign trail, giving endorsements to specific candidates, which may have helped or hurt some of them. Jessica, how do you think Donald Trump played into this election?
I think we certainly saw him in the primary mattering and factoring in a different way, right? Because the primaries are obviously different. You're appealing to your base, your voters to come out and vote in those primaries. But then, you know, decision day is in November, and that's where it really matters. You know, can you get past that general election? And we did see, you know, for example, Doug Mastriano in Pennsylvania lose. We saw Don Bolduc in New Hampshire lose that Senate seat. And there were others. John Gibbs lost that Michigan 3rd congressional seat. So certainly there were signs, you know, dotted across the country that it mattered. You know, I was speaking earlier with Miami's Mayor Francis Suarez. Obviously, Florida was a big bright spot for Republicans, even if the red wave didn't manifest across the country. And he, you know, I asked him about that. You know, how did former President Trump sort of factor in, especially in Florida, where we saw these we saw in Miami-Dade, which is a heavily Hispanic Latino population, go red. And he gave a shout out to the former president and said, look, the you know, Trump certainly brought inroads into the Latino community, and we've definitely seen some shifts there. But he said, moving forward, if the primary is a purity test for either party, you have to find candidates that are strong enough to get past that primary and then broaden out. And it sounds like such an obvious thing to say, right? It's an obvious thing, but finding those people who can appeal to the Trump base and then get those independent voters, that's the math game, right?
And I was going to add to that one thing, too, that I think is going to be looked at closely by Republicans nationwide is the ground game efforts that have been in place by Florida Republicans for almost a decade, right? You know, we have thought about Florida as sort of the quintessential swing state for a long time. That's not been the case in the most recent elections, and that's not just by accident. Republicans have worked really hard in Florida to, Jess's point, attract a broader base of voters, a broader coalition of voters. And you saw that play out on Tuesday night with Ron DeSantis getting reelected by, was it 15% margin? He was elected by half a percentage point 4 years ago.
Yeah. The midterm elections are over, as there are still some races yet to be determined. But what we do know is that Democrats did not perform as poorly as many polls would have indicated. We're speaking with Fox News radio reporters Jaron Halpern and Jessica Rosenthal, offering their thoughts after a hard-fought midterm battle. The conversation continues next. It's really crazy to think about that. And some people see DeSantis as a rebuke to Trump. Now, the former president has teased this announcement coming up on November 15th. I'm using air quotes there because we don't exactly know what this announcement might be. There's some speculation that, hey, he might run for president again. If that's the actual announcement, do you think there is a better or a worse chance of him trying to get back to the White House after seeing the results of these midterms? Jess, let's start with you on that one.
I can't read those kinds of tea leaves because I'm not a prognosticator, and nor am I an editorialist. But, you know, anybody who's covered Trump or been in his orbit will tell you that, and Jared can speak to this as well.
I think he just did with that laugh.
You just don't know.
It's always a surprise, right? Like he can't be tethered down. He could change his mind. I think it was Jonathan Swan at Axios who was quipping that, you know, this is Trump. We just don't know. So will he be emboldened by this to say, you know, I'm the one who can come in and sort of fix this and handle this, or I read this in a way that I want to step away?
And I think the bigger questions that relates to former President Trump is not necessarily does it change his calculus on whether or not to run, but has it changed the calculus on Republicans who would have challenged him, right?
Right.
If this was a huge red wave and the former president was getting a lot of credit for, you know, making that happen, I think the likelihood that you see a big list of Republicans line up in a primary to run against him was pretty small, right? So the question, I think, is less about what does Trump do and more, Are other Republicans maybe more emboldened to at least challenge the former president if that's
point.
The decision he makes?
Yeah, and you think of Ron DeSantis right off the top, the Florida governor. You mentioned a 15% margin of victory last night, so maybe that will embolden him. Speaking of Trump, he did also endorse Herschel Walker, the Republican candidate for Senate in Georgia. We learned from the Secretary of State in Georgia there's going to be a runoff between Walker and Raphael Warnock, the Democrat there. Like, I mean, we kind of saw this coming, Jared.
The amount of money that has already been spent in that race.
Absolutely.
And now the entire country goes to, I mean, oh my goodness.
It's almost 2020 all
what
over again in a way.
What an expensive month it's going to be in the Atlanta media market.
So let's talk about what the actual steps of this Georgia runoff are and why it's going to be so expensive. How much longer do we have to wait to get another vote on this?
December 6th.
Yeah. December 6th.
So almost a month.
Yeah.
Whew. I'm just thinking about... I mean, you got SEC football still going on. Those are going to be expensive ads.
Whew, especially during those football games, too. But I don't know if this midterm has shown anything. These candidates can raise that money.
And listen, we do not yet know if Georgia's runoff is going to be the determinative race, right? There are still three races we don't know about. That Georgia, which is going to a runoff. We're waiting on the result in Arizona. We're waiting for a result in Nevada. If Democrats win both Arizona and Nevada, they are at 50 votes. They have the majority with the vice president's tie-breaking vote. That might sort of change the way that we're all kind of looking at. Now, listen, I think both parties are going to want to win Georgia, but if it ends up becoming a split, let's say, in those two states, or Republicans win those, boy, you know, Georgia becomes really important.
Yeah, already a pressure situation, but then it really goes up. You mentioned Arizona. They're still counting the votes in some places in Arizona, and that was also expected. Jessica, do you have any details on why Arizona is taking so long to count and come up with a winner here?
Well, first of all, Arizona often takes a bit of a longer time, as a lot of swing states do, or tight race states do. And when you have more than one tight race, you comb through more carefully. But, you know, they start counting the early votes that arrive first, and then they move forward from there. And also, you know, we had some problems in Maricopa County. There were some printer issues that affected the tabulating machines at a number of sites. And there was a little bit of a legal fight over that, mm-hmm. and a request from the RNC to, you know, extend voting hours. So, when all eyes are on you, you certainly take more time, more careful. And after, of course, 2020 and the claims that were made about 2020 and the audit that was done after that, Arizona implemented some new rules after that, as did many other states. But those affected really the process of actual voting rather than counting, although counting was still is still a part of that. So, you know, I think at the end of the day, what this might come down to is what we're really seeing in other states as well, like Nevada and Georgia to a certain extent as well, that when you have just such tight races and such scrutiny, you do tend to have to take more time to do that.
Jared, do you want to weigh in on that one too?
I was just going to say that the phrase that I remember from 2 years ago in Arizona that is going to be important this week is late early votes. And what we mean by late early votes is there is a pretty long window of time in Arizona where you can mail in your early ballot. But the ones that arrive latest, so you mail in your ballot early, you get it maybe on election day, those are the ones counted last. And so it's a little bit more nuanced, because generally you think of early vote is favoring Democrats, and that's true, but that's not always the case with late early votes. And so it's just the way every state's a little bit different in how they decide which ballots they're going to count first. And the system in Arizona is a little complicated.
It's so funny because Florida was always so notorious for their vote counts in past years. And now those were decided.
No hanging chads anymore.
Right. Those were decided so quickly. Yet here we are with Arizona. Let's take a quick glimpse into the future here. Assuming that Republicans do take the House here, and Kevin McCarthy, he's already announced his candidacy for Speaker before they've even officially taken the House. What can we expect, Jared, about a potentially Republican-controlled House and a Speaker, Kevin McCarthy?
Well, a lot of the path forward for Kevin McCarthy is going to depend on the math, right? So it looks like this is not going to be a huge majority for Republicans. That means that his margin for error is going to be pretty slim, right? He's going to need to have the support of nearly every Republican to attain the speakership. And listen, you also have to have a challenger, and so far there is not one, right? So
right, Steve Scalise just announced so that he's supporting
in the
McCarthy.
Obviously, like, running unopposed is pretty, you know, you can usually win that. I think what will be notable, though, is how does this change the maybe direction that the House wants to take. They were never going to be able to pass a lot of legislation, regardless of how big their majority is, right? Because you don't have 60 votes in the Senate. You have a president who's going to be able to veto it. So a lot of the focus is probably still where the focus is going to be. They are going to really flex that oversight muscle. You are going to see a lot of hearings in the Judiciary Committee. You are going to see a lot of hearings in the Oversight Committee. You are going to see subpoenas issued probably to the DHS secretary, to the attorney general, to the director of the FBI, to people who were business partners of Hunter Biden. You're going to see all of those still move forward. The question is going to be then, when they do have votes on, say, raising the debt limit, when they do have votes on, say, a bipartisan spending bill, right? Things that sort of have to get done for governing, how much is Kevin McCarthy as a speaker with his slim majority going to have to lean and press on Republicans, on Democrats to maybe get over the finish line if you have a faction of, you know, moderate Republicans or very conservative Republicans who don't want to go along with that?
Yeah, it was talked about that President Biden would have to be the one reaching across the aisle after these midterms, but it looks like it's maybe McCarthy in a future speakership there. Jared Halpern and Jessica Rosenthal, great job with these midterm election coverage. We really mean that. You guys knocked it out of the park as expected. That was really the only thing that happened as expected in these midterms. Thank you so much for being with us on the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition podcast.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. And I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.